The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 19th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Dave Dickey will have details of today's agricultural news in just a few moments. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. In between, we'll hear all about the upcoming U of I Extension Corn and Soybean Classic Series. It's year 9, and I'm looking forward to hitting the road to 6 cities across the state of Illinois. Stay with us for this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Kansas City on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. The nearby March wheat contract in the hard red winter wheat pit at $3.71, up 3.5 cents. Chicago wheat in the March contract, 3.23 and a quarter, up 3.5 cents. And the board soft red winter wheat at 3.32, up 3 and a quarter. The CBOT corn March contract, 2.08 and 3 quarters, up 1 and a quarter today. May futures at 2.17 and 3 quarters, up 1.5. And July corn, 2.26 and 3 quarters, up 1.5. December futures at 245.5 for next year, up 0.75 cents. January beans settled like this at 608.5, up 16.25 today. March futures up 18 cents at 620.5, and the May contract at 628.25, up 17.75. November bean 638.25, up 15 for the day. January bean meal 198.60, up 7.20. January bean oil 21.57, up 27. Mercantile exchange numbers now. January feeder cattle 114.57.5. They were up 25 cents. December live cattle at 95.77.5 were up 25, and lean hogs settled 22.5 cents higher for the February contract at $64.55 100 weight.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I want to talk about the January and the March soybeans in the spread here, which is now at 12 cents. And I was reading online that that is full commercial carry and that it may suggest that the commercials are bearish. Is that the case?
Well, full carry basically gives commercials a great opportunity to buy the grain from the producer and hedge in the deferred contracts and capture some of that carry. It pays to store the beans. Also, too, it gives the producers a chance to hedge it, you know, either through the futures or through a hedge to arrive through the elevator that says that basically they're wanting the beans down the road versus now. It's been a while since we've seen carry the market, and you're correct. In the past, they wanted the beans up front, wanted them for near-term demand, whereas now it suggests that there's ample bean stocks around, and what the function of the market's doing right now is fulfilling the needs of the technical side, which the funds have been buyers here over the last 2-3 weeks.
And tell me about last night's rally in the overnight trade and today's rally in the bean pit.
Well, basically, fundamentally, we're sort of looking at a wishy-washy weather forecast for the southern hemisphere. There's some good areas and some areas maybe a little bit dry. Argentina and southern Brazil received anywhere from 2/10 to 8/10 from 75-80% coverage. They got daily chances of showers through the week with their best chance on Wednesday, Thursday. But the weather forecast for the southern hemisphere is going to be more critical as we get more in January and February. Fundamentally, we are seeing tight producer holding, and so in order to gather some inventory, we're having to bid up. And lastly, too, fundamentally, we're seeing a situation where China continues to buy beans on the world market. It's estimated they bought maybe up to 10 cargoes of U.S. and South American beans. But the big picture is technical. We moved above the moving day averages. We've seen the green line cross the red line as trip buy signals. We moved above the 100-day moving average. The technicians are eyeing 625, 630 basis the lead contract here. Also, fundamentally or voodoo-wise, we got first day of winter coming up on us. And a year ago, the market topped out going into that time window. Wednesday is the first day of winter, so I wouldn't be surprised to see the market run out of gas and start to see some year-end positioning after Wednesday.
And so it is your expectation that it will move higher in the overnight trade, maybe that 5 to 7 cents, and then finish this thing off by midweek?
Well, I don't know if we'll get the 5 to 7 cents tonight, but I would think there's a little bit more in it. We'd probably maybe see a turnaround or contrary Tuesday. It may try to push it one more time Wednesday. And that would fit the change of seasons type of top here. A year ago, we did top on December 20th. The first day of winter was the 21st last year. We did come back and test the high on the 27th, and we trended lower into the 1st of February as the market absorbed first of the year selling.
So we've asked all the day trader questions. Now tell me, are you making cash sales for beans?
Oh, yeah. We're pushing right along in through here. That's been our plan from day one, is use strength, Thanksgiving, 1st of December, into year-end to get to where we want to be. For the aggressive guys, there's nothing wrong with being up to 70% sold on old crop and 10 to 20% sold on new crop. These are fairly good levels, and fundamentally, when you look at carryout estimates and the potential for those to grow even further yet, I think it's warranted to sort of reward the market here. The idea we can always replace ownership on paper down the road.
Speaking of carryout, still faced with a 2.4 billion bushel corn carryout. Yet the March contract at 208 and three quarters, and next year's December contract at 245 and a half. Are you making cash sales there?
Yeah, we've put some on the books, the 250 base DSO 6. If we could venture back up to there, I wouldn't be opposed to making some additional sales. Year in, year out, year after year, 250 plus is a good spot to get started. Hope it's wrong. Hope we go to 280, 290. We'll lay into it on the way up. The market's anticipating 2 to 3 million acres less of corn, and, it's going to take that big a drop and pretty poor weather next year to really, venture much above this 250, 260 area. So, I'm kind of optimistic that guys are going to do a good job next year farming and we'll have some favorable weather. So, you look at the long-term seasonal stuff on this. Long-term, December to March, 250 area or so is historically good levels, good areas to get started, especially if you're in the crop insurance business. And that's been real popular, these revenue policies. If you're buying those policies and getting that extra protection, that gives you reason to go ahead and get aggressive this winter.
And you're talking about getting a start on your new crop sales?
Correct.
Okay, and then with old crop, where do we stand at this point?
Well, I think you sort of get to where you want to be. I'm not saying clean out the bin by all means on all this stuff. I like getting up to 60, 70% sold, and maybe carry 20, 30% into next spring and see what happens from just a strictly cash marketing point of view. But I think you sort of got to get into this March corn up around this 210 area is an obstacle. If we pop through it, maybe we get 5 or 6 cents short covering on the funds. But the thing is, once the market starts rallying on fund buying, the commercials go widen the basis out because we still got a lot of cash grain to move.
Anything to discuss in the wheat market?
Well, it's going to be a follower here. We got two markets. Basically, we got a tighter old crop new crop situation for Kansas City and Minneapolis. And we got ample supplies or potential of huge supplies this summer in Chicago. So we've got two different markets taken here. I think you're going to see a lot of spread activity between KC and Chicago as we move along here. But the bottom line is we're watching the Texas, the Southern Plains. They're looking at almost a disaster situation unless this weather starts cooperating for them as we go into the spring.
And a final word on the mercantile exchange for me, please.
Well, continue to watch the cattle defy the law of gravity. We've got a cattle and feed report. We're looking at some fairly hefty numbers as we go into those reports here. Also, cold storage. We'll see how much beef we have in the freezer here. But the anxiety of opening up trade to Asia, even Some of the Korean countries is looking at opening up trade to the U.S. Until we get the anxiety out of the way, we'll probably hang up here for another week or two. But overall tonnage and the lack of confidence in the economy, I think, is just giving the meat market borrowed time.
Kurt, you have a Merry Christmas, a great New Year, and we won't talk to you again, I suppose, until the Monday after, well, it'll be 2 weeks. You're off next week and the following week, too, aren't you?
Yeah, hopefully the rest of the guys here can keep everybody straight here for me while I'm gone for the next 2 weeks.
We'll try to make sure that they do that.
Very good. Have a good one, guys.
You too, Kurt. Thanks much. Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing. He's out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on the closing and the opening market reports on Mondays.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own forecast for this evening is looking like this. Tonight, mostly clear skies and cold across the two-state region, says Ed Keezers. Lows will range from 5 below zero in far northwestern Illinois to 15 above in the far south. And Ed says tomorrow the skies will be mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 20 in northwestern Illinois to 40 in the far south. By the way, if you're trying to get onto the website and listen to some of the real audio files, we have been having some technical difficulties over the last couple of weeks. We're working to resolve those. The MP3 files download fine. I know that doesn't work if you're sitting on the end of a phone line, but if you've got high-speed internet, try the MP3 files instead, and those will work for you. Thanks much, and Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, trade ministers representing the 149 nations of the World Trade Organization Sunday agreed on enough issues to keep the Doha round alive in the short-term future and to set the table for the next ministerial meeting, likely in early spring. In the document released at the completion on the Hong Kong meeting, delegates pledged to finish work on disciplines on export credits, export credit guarantees or insurance programs, exporting state trading enterprises, and food aid by April 30th of next year. Delegates agreed export subsidies for all nations will be terminated by 2014, with one exception, cotton exports from developed nations. On that, delegates said termination will be next year. European Union Agriculture Commissioner Marianne Fisher-Boll says the pressure is now on the U.S. to live up to the framework agreement.
I'm quite sure that the decisions that we have made will mean that that the United States will really have to cut on their domestic support. I'm quite sure as well that this will finally mean that we can see the influence on the world market prices.
In concluding statements, WTO Director General Pascal Lamy, European Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson, and U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman all emphasized developing nations benefited the most from the Hong Kong negotiations. Lamy says the agreement to push on into 2006 is a positive sign.
We've managed to put the round back on track after a period of hibernation. Now, where do we go from now? Next step over is April next year, where we have to put all the figures and numbers to the formulas which have been agreed. And that should take us sort of two-thirds of the way.
Portman stressed in his words, the news on balance is good, and the prospects for completing the round by the end of 2006 depends on hard work and political will. But reaction back in the U.S. was not positive. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman says virtually nothing was done toward reaching a deal on agriculture.
Well, I guess I could characterize this as there were minimal expectations for this meeting, and expectations have been met. Because we haven't gotten very far. There's been a lot of discussion. There's frankly been a lot of discussion on sort of extraneous issues away from the three pillars of agriculture, and market access is the one that we're most interested in. We really haven't made any progress.
U.S. congressmen watching Doha negotiations were not impressed. Two key U.S. senators say it may be difficult to convince Congress to approve any final agreement. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says, quote, "I can tell you right now that without substantial improvement over the next few months, this framework will go over like a lead balloon." And Montana Democrat Max Baucus says, again a direct quote, "The deal in Hong Kong does very little to advance key U.S. interests in agriculture, manufacturing, and services." Baucus adds he is not optimistic negotiators will make progress by an April 30th deadline. House and Senate negotiators agreed Sunday to extend the milk income loss contract program for another 2 years. The program paid out a little more than $2 billion to dairy farmers since its inception in 2002. But commodity programs were cut over the weekend. Specifically, the package reduces advance direct payments to 40% in the 2006 crop year and cuts them 22% in the 2007 crop year. The bill also terminates the Step 2 Cotton Export Program on August 1st of 2006. U.S.'s first shipment of beef to Japan in nearly 2 years was met with stiff bureaucratic formality, and part of the shipment was rejected. Inspections were so stiff that at one point the U.S. Embassy had to intervene to help clear custom and quarantine procedures. The cargo contained 4.3 tons of chilled beef and 300 kilograms of tongue and diaphragm produced by Harris Ranch Beef Company of California. According to Japanese meat and diplomatic sources, quarantine officials did not clear a second cargo plane, which was not identified, that was also carrying U.S. beef. Inspectors from Japan are currently on a four-state U.S. tour, checking USDA audit procedures at meatpacking plants. South Korea today says it will begin talks with the U.S. to resume beef imports following a 2-year ban sparked by fears of mad cow disease. U.S. Undersecretary of Agriculture for Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services J.B. Penn will discuss scheduling of the beef talks Tuesday during a stopover in Seoul on his way back from the Doha round. And the chief economist for USDA says Canada is shooting themselves in the foot by imposing import duties on U.S. grain corn imports. Keith Collins says Canada has too much at stake in its livestock industry to impose anti-dumping duties on U.S. corn shipments. The Canada Border Service Agency announced last Thursday dumping duties of $1.65 a bushel on imported non-processed corn. Canada Resource News reports the duties will raise the cost of feeding cattle in Canada by up to $87 per head and up to $17 per hog. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's on hiatus over the winter break, but it will return in January. Now would be a good time to sign up at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. Well, the University of Illinois will put its first team of crop production on the road in January. We'll hear more in a moment. This is the ninth year for the Corn and Soybean Classic Series from the University of Illinois. It was intentionally designed to bring the best information from the Agricultural College on campus to producers around the state of Illinois. Extension entomologist Mike Gray is one of 8 speakers scheduled for each of the 5-day-long regional meetings. He says the speakers will talk for no more than half an hour and will get right to the point of a topic expected to be of most interest for corn and soybean producers.
We located these meetings in upscale venues and really tried to make sure that a producer could come in one day, get what we think is a first-class proceedings, have an opportunity to interact with a number of specialists, pathologists, entomologists, weed scientists, crop production specialists, in some cases ag engineers, ag economists, get a lot of information in one day, have an opportunity to interact with these folks, and we think for a very reasonable fee.
Pre-registration is $35 if completed online by January 4th or by phone by December the 23rd. A walk-in registration for each of the six sites is $50 for the day. The fee includes donuts and coffee in the morning, lunch, and a full proceedings booklet. Online or website registration can be completed by clicking the Conferences tab at www.ipm.uiuc.edu.
You're correct. We have six locations this year, beginning on January the 10th in Bloomington, January 11th in Malta, the 12th. We will be up at the Mark in Moline. That'll take care of the first week, and then the following week we will be at the Crown Plaza in Springfield on January 17, the Holiday Inn in Mount Vernon on January 18, and then we will conclude the 2006 Corn and Soybean Classic sessions on the 19th of January at the Holiday Inn in Collinsville.
Gray is hopeful 2006 will repeat the all-time record attendance of the program set last year, something north of 1,300 farmers and agribusiness professionals. Those who choose to make this year's meeting will hear from Mike Gray, Emerson Nafziger, Daryl Good, Kevin Steffi, Gary Schnittke, Aaron Hager, Terry Niblack, and Suzanne Bissonnette. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
On a personal note, I have emceed that series of meetings since its very first inception. So all 9 years I've been at most of the sites. I think one site, 1 year I missed the Mark in Moline and had to come back to campus for one reason or another. But it is a magnificent series. If you've never managed to make it out to the Corn and Soybean Classic, make this your first year. And if you've made it before, I hope to see you again. Again, those are in January. And if you'd like to register online, it's www.ipm.uiuc.edu/conferences, but if you just go to the IPM website, which is integratedpestmanagement.uiuc.edu, you'll see a conferences link there, and you can register for both the Corn and the Soybean Classics, and frankly, you can register for the upcoming, what was called the Spray School, but now is the Crop Protection Technology Conference. That's in the very first week of January. Joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Carolyn White of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Carolyn.
Good afternoon.
Market up a great deal in the soybeans, 16 and a quarter cents in the January. March futures up 18 cents. Are you, as a buyer at the Andersons, wanting farmers to hold off or bring cash beans in today?
Well, you know, I think six anything, I probably would have begun to let go as something. We are 608 cash beans tonight. I'd let a few go and hope that the market goes on up a little bit more. It's been a very busy day here today. We're busy with we're kicking off our Market Pro and our Freedom tools, which are automated pricing tools, and I certainly would urge all farmers to have some sort of bushels in those programs. I would have probably let a few go today myself if I had them.
In fact, on the idea of some automated marketing tools, and we'll hear Daryl Goodo talk about this just a bit, but if those who have been out to the Farm Income Series, and it happens to be here in Urbana today, so there are a number of folks in the local area that are probably engaged in that, but Daryl and one of his colleagues have started talking about a pricing matrix, which is made up of four separate portions of your crop. Two on the mechanical side, one where it's entirely mechanical and you set it up, one where somebody else sets it up, one where you do your own pricing, and one where you have somebody else price it for you. And so
right.
The automated programs that you're talking about would fit well into the matrix, and Daryl thinks that probably would be able to give most people, most producers, a better price for their crop than they've been able to reap by simply pulling the trigger when they decide they want to.
I agree. It's time for a marketing plan to be in place, and I think that those tools, along with open orders, it has a place in everybody's portfolio, and would urge producers to get that plan written down.
And we'll talk more about that with Daryl Good in the coming week and a half or so right here on the Closing Market Report. Again, I know you gave us our bids for the day, but could you give us the complete set, please?
You bet. Cash corn tonight for December, we are 203 at the Andersons, January 205, new crop 229. For cash beans for December and January delivery, 608. and new crop beans 622, and cash wheat we are 308.
Carolyn, we appreciate it. Carolyn White is with the Andersons in Champaign County, and somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chicago's office of Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Purdue University Engineering Dean Linda Katei will become the new provost at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus. Pending approval from trustees, Katei will become UIUC's provost and vice chancellor for academic affairs on April 1st. Katei replaces Jesse Delia, who's served as interim provost for the past year and a half. Prosecutors in Chicago say former Illinois House Speaker Lee Daniels' one-time top aide is cooperating with the federal government in a political corruption investigation. But Assistant U.S. Attorney Manish Shah told a judge today that no agreement with attorneys for Michael Tristano is likely before mid-February. Tristano is charged with fraud, theft, and extortion conspiracy in an indictment that accuses him of using state employees to work on campaigns on state time. A former Chicago alderman today filed his petitions to run for governor in the Illinois Democratic primary. Edwin Eisendrath acknowledges he has little name recognition and no state government experience, but he says he'll work hard to persuade voters to back him. In Bloomington, Indiana, Bloomington Hospital officials don't want doctors who might be investing in a rival for-profit hospital. The hospital says it may revoke doctors' privileges if they take part in the development of Monroe Hospital, which is slated to open in about a year. Five more people graduated from Champaign County's drug court today. The program gives nonviolent drug offenders a chance to avoid prison or jail time if they promise to remain drug-free and make court appearances for at least 12 months. They also have to take part in a 12-step program and either find a job or work on continuing education. Judge Jeffrey Ford, who oversees the program, says drug court's 30% recidivism rate is much lower than that for overall offenders. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. We're joined by agricultural meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at those markets and the weather this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you.
Tell me about the weather across the Midwest.
Well, right now we're this cold pattern that has been in place really since December 1st. It's finally going to be breaking here across the Midwest as the Arctic air mass now in place across the nation midsection will be pushing off to the east, and we are going to see a flood of mild Pacific air coming to the western Midwest. Actually, that's taking place right now, and that'll be flowing eastward over the next several days. So if you're cold right now, all you have to do is wait a couple more days, and we'll finally be back up to more normal levels by the middle of this week, even above normal by the end of this week. So a nice Christmas gift here from Mother Nature.
We're always interested in the input side. I know you take a look at natural gas supplies and movement. Can you tell me about that and your work just a bit, please?
Well, certainly this stretch of cold that we've seen so far has been very impressive, and as a result, we've obviously seen very high heating needs, not only here in the Midwest, but across much of the central and eastern U.S. With the warmer pattern on tap, certainly we are going to see an easing of that heating demand, and as a result here, we will be seeing demand on the decline over the next couple of weeks. So as a result here, we are going to see at least not as high withdrawals from natural gas and storage, since we are getting the milder weather.
From southern hemisphere, we have started to hear more about the South American bean crop. What we've heard to this point was that it's awfully good condition. The planting season went well, but the market has moved higher, and then on ideas that maybe that crop might suffer at some point during this season. Is there any indication that that will be the case yet?
Well, Todd, we do not see anything really problematic at this stage of the game. Coming up here, Brazil is going to remain in very good shape with widespread rains across most areas. Argentina is going to be getting rains, just not quite to the extent as Brazil is, but over a majority of the corn and bean acreage in Argentina will receive significant amounts here coming up over the next week to 10 days. And so, you know, there's been a few computer model runs here that have taken some rain out of Argentina at times, but we've seen a lot of discrepancies in the computer model guidance. So that might be what some of the talk is here, but in our opinion, we don't see anything problematic here coming up.
Mark, we sure appreciate you being with us. You have a great Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks, you too, and to all the WILL listeners.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. That is today's closing market report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report, and that you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on our website at WILL.UIUC.edu. As always, just click on AM and then Agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.